What's going on, Successers? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. Producer Britt is currently out today. But y'all, today, oh my goodness, today is Tuesday, November 25th, 2025. And y'all already know it's a great day to be alive. If this is your first time rocking with us here on Speak Your Success in the Morning, you always can expect a few things, all right? Well, first and foremost, I'm Jonathan Jones, all right? I'm Jonathan Jones, and welcome to Speak Your Success. This is Speak Your Success in the Morning with Jonathan Jones, also with producer Britt. And y'all, here you can expect always to get the three E's, all right? We're going to give you education, we're going to give you entertainment, and we always got to leave you with a little bit of empowerment, all right? We want to make sure that you get some news that you can use, some information that you can leverage for your situation, and ultimately making sure that you leave feeling entertained, all right? So, y'all, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to dive in. So, I have been out this weekend, right? Where's John been? What in the world has John been going on doing? So, my wife and I actually attended a marriage conference, and we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. But last night, or yesterday, what did I have for brunch? Okay, so there's a spot called a Broken Egg. If you ever been to a Broken Egg, you should already know where I'm going with this. Okay, a Broken Egg, every time I eat there, I can't stop thinking about it based on the last time I ate there. So yesterday, I'm sitting here looking at the menu and I'm like, ooh, am I going to go with the lobster and brie omelet? Because that thing looks good. Or, oh, wait, they have the chocolate chip cookie dough waffle. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, John, like, why would you eat that? Whoa. Okay, don't judge my choices. My wife and I, we were out in San Antonio. We were kicking it at this conference called A Weekend to Remember. And we were on the way back after chilling for a little bit that morning. I was like, you know what? I feel like eating what I'm going to eat, and I feel like getting what I'm going to get. So the last time I had the lobster and brie omelet, and that thing was chef's kiss, right? Chef's kiss. But I was looking, I was like, I think I want to do something different. I know if I go with that, I know it's going to be delicious. But I tried something different, y'all. And I went with the cookie dough waffle, and that thing was off the chain. It was off the chain. Okay. They gave me some sausage patties. They gave me some scrambled eggs. I was a happy camper. You understand me? So, man, shout out to A Broken Egg because they just do it right over there. Okay. They do it right. And my wife had apple fritter French toast. Mm-hmm. Apple fritter French toast. So, you know, that was delicious and everything like that. But I don't want to stay there too long. But now I want to get ready to transition to straight from the source. And this morning, what we're going to talk about with straight from the source, got to go ahead and get ready to dive in. We're going to be diving in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's go ahead and get there. All right. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, the text reads here for us. It says, only be careful for yourself and watch over your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen. They do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and grandsons. This is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, okay? Chapter 4, verse 9. And what I want to really break down here in this text in our time today is understanding that in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, it's a command to be vigilant and not forget the things that God has done. It's so easy, and I can just liken it to being a kid growing up and asking my mom, asking my dad, I want this toy. Mom, I want the Spider-Man toy. Mom, can you please give me the Spider-Man toy? Says, son, okay, you want the Spider-Man toy? I get it. And then she says, well, son, What happened to the Batman toy that I bought you? I'm like, Mom, it's in my room somewhere. It's in my room somewhere. But I'm like, Mom, holidays coming up, Christmas coming up. Can you please give me the Spider-Man toy? She's like, okay, son, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I get it. It's a new season. It's a new holiday. I get why you want a new toy. But what happened to the last one that I gave you? And I went in my room, began to look for the Batman toy. Where's the Batman toy? Where is it? Where is it? Start to dig through all my stuff. And then I pull up a leg of Batman. I start to dig through my stuff. And I pull up an arm of Batman. I start to dig through my stuff. And then I can't find the body. And it's like, son, you're asking me for this new toy, the new and shiny object. But at the same time, this was the same energy you had when you initially asked me for the Batman toy. And I think if we're not careful, that's how a relationship can be with God at times, just like it talks about here in the text. In verse 9, it says, do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. God has done some things in your life, in my life, in our lives, to where in that moment, we might have been broken. Like in that moment, we might have been crushed. But still, God came through and delivered us. But now a week later, 2 weeks later, a day later, we forget that and we're moving on to asking God for the new things, for the other things. So let's allow ourselves to really see like what this verse is saying, how it's emphasizing that it's easy to forget the important lessons and the experiences and the things that God have done that were deeply impactful over the course of our lives, right? And let's just make sure that we're intentional with a call being continuous and focusing on actively remembering. The warning against spiritual complacency and fading faith over time. All right, so let's stay there. Let's stay there for a little bit, because there's a level of personal responsibility that's really highlighted in the text for each and every one of us as individuals to retain two things: what we've seen and what we experienced with God. Plain and simple. Not about what other people have said, not about what your mom has said, what your dad has said, your grandmom, your uncle, your aunt. Mm-mm. This is what you have seen. In the text, they talk about what they have seen and what they have heard. Seen and experienced, excuse me. And then the last thing is, we must teach the children. The command is, teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. And this is highlighting the importance of passing down the faith, right? This is the importance of making sure that the younger generation has the knowledge so that they too can remain faithful. If I was to ask you, was there anybody in your life, in your family, who let you know that they were praying for you? Is there anybody in your life, in your family, that lets you know that God has done great things in their life? God has delivered them from XYZ. The word says that the people were delivered by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimonies. So how can we continue to share testimonies? How can we continue to point people back to the cross? We got to continue to share our stories. We got to continue to show the deliverance. We got to continue to make sure that people know what God has done in our lives, okay, collectively and individually. Family, we're about to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to dive into our content today, because today is Tuesday. It's Teach Me Tuesday, November 25th, 2025. All right, so we're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed. And also, make sure you don't miss any episodes here on Speak Your Success in the Morning. We'll be right back after this. Looking for timeless pieces that make a statement? Discover the Jewelry Department, where elegance meets craftsmanship. Owned by Miguel Contreras and located at 13505 Mumford Place, Suite 103 in Dallas, the Jewelry Department is your destination for stunning, one-of-a-kind pieces designed to elevate your style. From classic designs to modern trends, we offer a curated selection that reflects sophistication and artistry. Because we believe your jewelry should be just as unique as you are. Visit us today at the Jewelry Department, where every piece tells a story. And let us help you find the perfect piece that speaks to yours. The Jewelry Department, elevating your look with elegance and style. Find us at 13505 Mumford Place, Suite 103 in Dallas. Hey, family, welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning. We're currently 18 minutes after the hour. I hope you've had an amazing and eventful weekend. Before we get into our content today, what I wanted to talk about was the conference that my wife and I attended. The conference was called A Weekend to Remember. The conference is called A Weekend to Remember, excuse me. And what I want to do is pull my little workbook, because I feel that if we're not intentional about talking about marriage, and I feel like if we're not intentional about talking about where we are in our lives as a family, then ultimately, just like we talked about in Straight from the Source, how will people know, right? How will people know that they can benefit from XYZ resource, or how will people even know what they can possibly have or what they can attain for their lives, for their families? So therefore, I'm going to share a little bit about what we took away from the conference. And like I said, the name of the conference, the title of the conference is A Weekend to Remember. They hit us with this dope notebook right here, Weekend to Remember. Whoop, whoop. Super cool. And the reason why we went to this conference is because my wife, Gabby, and I have been married. It's going to be 6 years in December. And for the people who, I'll talk to the people who aren't married first. So the people who are single, the people who are seriously dating, the people who are dating, whatever. Sometimes we have a desire to be married. But the desire for the wedding can supersede the desire for marriage, right? The idea of the wedding may be bigger than what the marriage requires and what the marriage ultimately is. And I'm saying that because I've heard many people say, you know, we spend a year, or we spend, you know, X amount of time focusing on putting the wedding together, which is only going to be for a couple of hours, but we don't spend as much time focusing or investing into the life with that person, right? So that's one of those things that I think is extremely true. And so my wife and I, we've attended counseling individually and also as a couple, right? And we've also did premarital counseling. And now we attended, this is like our second conference that we've gone to together. But some of the highlights that I just want to take out, I just want to share through what we learned this past weekend. One, it was an amazing event. Just seeing over, I believe it might have been like over 500 couples in this ballroom. And I'm like, good God, just a lot of people in here. But outside of that, you know, some of the sessions and some of the things that we talked about, I'm going to just read some of the titles of the areas. But one of the things that I wanted to hit on was here. Okay. So the first night, the topic of the session was, are you living the dream? Are you living the dream? And then when we came in, the immediate challenge was, as you start this weekend, let's take a moment to remember what first attracted you to your spouse. And then there's a page with all these different words, right? And they give us the option to be able to, there we go, you're gonna see right there. Yep. To circle all the words that apply to what first attracts us to our spouse. Because the one of the things about this conference was, I appreciate, and me and my wife talked about this, we appreciated the fact that they gave us guardrails, because it's so many different couples in there. So they gave us guardrails, and then there were spots throughout the book to where it said, okay, now I want you to take a quick pause, and I want you to have the opportunity to begin to write down some areas that you can focus on working on, that you can focus on improving on within your marriage for this session. Go. And then we would write them down. And then they gave us a little bit of time to talk about it right then and there. And I feel that was very valuable because through this time talking and also through us doing this assessment they gave us, for me, the biggest takeaway was they gave me two areas that I can focus on in my marriage and improving. And they also gave me an area to where I'm good at. They said, John, one of your strong areas is commitment. You locked in, like you're strong on commitment. And for those just joining, I'm currently talking about a weekend to remember, a marriage conference my wife and I attended this past weekend in San Antonio, Texas. And they have them all over the country, literally all over the country. But hearing that, I was like, oh, wow. Well, one, it's good to know that, you know, I'm doing something well right now. But then the other areas that they pulled out for me was one was more so around being more intentional with my finances. Right. And then the other was more so honing in on talking about like roles, you know. So seeing those areas, and this was what they assigned us to do after the first session in that first day. So going through the conference, now these things are two thoughts that's on my mind as we're going through the material. And just like I said before, like I like that because now I'm thinking with more intentionality toward those focuses. But even beyond that, something else that we talked about in the sessions was there is so it talks about different areas where marriages could drift, right? Or people can drift. And then they had, you know, loss of a job, lust, wayward kids, depression, family drama, blended families, exhaustion, personal baggage from the past. And they said, all right, y'all, we're going to take a quick minute. We're going to play them some music. And I want y'all to circle the areas of in your potential marriage, right? Areas to where you all could go left or you could go right. And I sat there and, you know, we began to circle our ideas or our thoughts. And then the time was up. Then I looked at my wife and then we began to talk through that as well. So all in all, the thing that I appreciate most about this conference was I was going through it with my wife, with my partner. And here's a idea that if you're somebody who's single or you're dating somebody and one of you all want to get better, one of you all want to grow, but then the other person does not have that same desire, or y'all don't share a similar desire around that, there might be some conversations you want to have on the front end, okay? Just before you get married, right? If you're seriously dating and then you begin to see that you have these thoughts, these ideas, these beliefs, but the opposite person has completely opposite beliefs, thoughts, and different things like that, there might be some conversations you want to have. Because yes, married people have different visions for their lives. Married people have different perspectives on different things because that's what makes us that's what makes the match so well, right? Because this person is better at finances. This person is not. This person has a vision for the family. Maybe this person doesn't just yet. But then eventually the gaps are filled based on each other's differences and on each other's strengths, right? So they add something to each other. But if one person operates as something that's just, and the first thought that came to mind for me is if there's a different religious background, that could create some conflict, right? Because I was watching the show, and I'm not going to get too distracted, but I was watching the show to where this one gentleman, he was a rabbi. So he was of the Jewish faith. And the young lady, she, I don't believe, was any practicing faith. Or she was a Christian, right? She was in the Christian faith. But the rabbi wanted her to convert. And she was like, yeah, I'll just convert. No big deal. But this is something that she didn't consider what comes with the conversion, right? So then later she realized, I don't know if I exactly want to do that. So will we be able to still move forward? Would this create some issues? Would this create some tension? Potentially, yeah, because these are lifestyle changes. These aren't just a check a box and now we do this or we do that. These are complete and total lifestyle changes. But yeah, y'all, weekend to remember. I enjoyed this conference. They ended up having two separate sessions at the end. One session for the men, one session for the women, to where we were encouraged around, you know, leading the family and operating in faith and in vision. And then the women's session, they talked about what they talked about, because I wasn't in the women's session, so I can't tell you. But the biggest challenge that they gave us was after the second day of the event, they said, all right, y'all, now I want y'all to go on a date night, right? I want y'all to go on a date night tonight. And one of the dope things I really liked about that day was before we went on a date night, they said, y'all need to identify, what does that look like for you and your family in this season, right? Is it going on one date a week? So every 7 days, boom, y'all are doing a date. Or is it, you know, maybe every other week? Or is it even the opportunity for you all to do something inside, right? Because typically we think of date nights, think about going out. But as couples, as families, you know, might have little small children, a date night could just be intentional time inside the house. So high level, I enjoyed this conference. And what I really appreciate about this conference is for, you know, those people who, well, not those people, I'll just say for me. But what I enjoyed about it was being around other couples who are also focused on furthering their marriage, furthering their intimacy, right? So having this time together and being in a space to where this is the focus for everybody, you look at marriage different in that space. But then the other part was helping us get together, talk through date night, what that looks like, and just the focus around it. And us going on a date that night, my wife and I ended up going to get our nails done. So we got the pedicures, and after that, we went to a comedy show, which was off the chain. Okay. Never in my life have I ever seen a comic that was willing to put on a dog collar and then get shocked. My wife said, I'm not going to be the one to shock you. She passed it to somebody else, said, you can shock him when the time comes. But when I tell you, that was some wild stuff. Okay. So wrapping this up, about to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and I have some more content for you all. But y'all, a weekend to remember, right? A weekend to remember. This is not only for married couples. This is also just for couples, like, seriously dating and things like that. But it's a good conference to where if you haven't talked about some intimate topics or things like that, they will help you start the conversation. Okay. So in the session, like I said before, they'll bring up different topics and they'll have you circle certain things. And then you and your partner can compare your answers. And then y'all can talk about where the difference is or different things like that. But just wanted to talk a little bit about a weekend to remember, because my wife and I really enjoyed it. Got some good information, got some good nuggets, got to be around some good people, and it was just a good event, right? It was a good event. And you know, because so often you see a lot of stuff on social media and they're not giving you real tangible nuggets or information to apply. But what we said was we felt they gave us some good guardrails, but also based on the work that we've done before with couples therapy, with, you know, with a couple of counselors and also individual therapy. So we really were able to take away some things and see how it applied to us. We're currently 31 minutes after the hour, about to take a quick commercial break. And we're going to come back, talk a little bit about sports, talk a little bit about Shedeur Sanders, his first start. And then we're going to dive in and talk about a few more topics right after this quick commercial break. Don't touch that dial here on Speaking Success in the Morning. Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because your skin deserves the very best.
All right, family. All right. All right. Let's go. All right, family, welcome back. Welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning. Man, excited to be here with you all today. We're currently 32 minutes after the hour, right? And what I want to now get ready to get into is, man, so much is happening via, so much is happening across the space, across the place, just in terms of the sports landscape, okay? So now what I want to share with you all, I was looking online, and this is one of the things I've really been passionate about, and it's really about making sure that student athletes are now having resources, having information to where they can really be positioned and prepared for what's next. And this is one of my passion areas right here, right? So it says Blavity reported on this. It says NIL and media training program launched for student athletes by Houston's The Gifted Collective. One of the things I think that's really important and really pressing here is that not only that student athletes have information to be able to have media training, but have a way and information to be able to share their story, share their voice, and really be able to share their thoughts with the masses, right? They're in front of a captive audience. They're in front of these large crowds. They have all these eyes on them, but how are they making sure that they steward these opportunities well? Well, it says right here, Houston, The Gifted Collective has relaunched Fair Play, the athlete's guide to NIL and media readiness ahead of National Signing Day to help high school and college students navigate media and NIL opportunity. This is great to hear. This is great to know. This is something that I feel is necessary, and it's only going to continue to grow just with the way that things are going with media and the way that things ultimately are going with the entertainment industry and everything like that. So kudos to them. But now I want to hit on this real quick, because this is pretty cool to see right here. Gotta cheer. Oh, okay. Maybe they don't want us to have that. But I want to also have the opportunity to be able to celebrate Mr. Shedeur Sanders. And y'all, you may or may not know, but this past Sunday, Shedeur Sanders had the opportunity to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, literally this past Sunday. Like, so this is something that's like hot off the press. So Shedeur had the opportunity, like I said, to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Look, you can't. Can you be mad at him? Perfect timing. You can't be mad at the young guy. So look, he had the opportunity to finally start, right? Finally start for his team that drafted him. Yeah, they drafted him in the fifth round, but so what? So what? Who cares? And you know, he had the opportunity to finally start, like I said, and the stats that he had for that game against the Raiders was as follows. Actually, let me just read the stats prior, and then let's also get to the stats for the Raiders game. Okay, so ultimately, he's played two games to this point against the Ravens previously. Just before, he had 47 yards. He threw one interception. His QB rating was 13.5. This past Sunday against the Raiders, he had a 55. So the first game that he played in, he had a 25% completion rate. And mind you, he did not have any reps with the first team. And anybody who watches football, watches sports, you know that if you don't have reps with the first team, but then you come in and play with the first team, things are going to be off. They're not going to be as smooth as they could be. That's why you need those reps in practice throughout the week, okay, leading up to the game. But still, despite that, he had 25% completion, 47 through 47 yards, and threw for one interception that week. Then he comes back this past Sunday, and he threw for a 55% completion rate, 209 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and an 87.3 QB rating. But that resulted in a win for the Cleveland Browns. So shout out to Shedeur Sanders, man. Finally getting an opportunity to show what he can do. Finally getting an opportunity to show what he's capable of. But even beyond that, man, it's just time, right? Like, people were like the Cleveland Browns needed to do something different. It was time. Y'all had Shedeur in the bullpen, had him in the stable. Come on, man. Stop playing with this man's career. But I thought this was funny, though. I want to do something funny here. But I thought this one was funny. Just seeing the personality of some of these guys. And since we're talking Cleveland, like, let's say something nice about him here, too. But I thought this clip was pretty funny. Because I'm a two-time TEDx speaker, and just hearing them talk about this really made me smile. Let's talk about it. Let's talk.
He's got an opinion. That man.
Tell me what's a TED talk?
It's like, you know when you just got like opinions, like, and you could just sit there and talk about over anything. You would be great at that.
I appreciate it, bro.
Why I tell the best TED talk about whatever you want to know.
Anything.
Politics.
Talk to why. Why?
Religion. Hunting.
Hunting for sure. Houses. Transportation. Baby.
Babysitting. And here they just talking about different. They're just talking about different guys, right? Who would be great for TED talks, and you know, just sharing what they're passionate about, right? And I think that's something that we don't get to see often, especially when it comes to the realm or the lens of looking at athletes, because they get pigeonholed in one thing. Okay, they're good at sports, and that's it. But it's like, no, these are whole personalities. These are whole people. And these are individuals who can talk about hunting, who can talk about houses, who can talk about whatever their passion or their interest might be. So I just wanted to share that. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty funny to be able to see those guys from a different lens and from a different perspective. So I want to share that. But in other news, oh man. Okay, so now we're staying in the realm of sports. But I want to now talk a little bit about this, right? And Ja Morant is in the news yet again.
At this play here, in
so we're about to get to it in just a second. But as we know, so Klay Thompson got tripped by this gentleman, and then
Alba had something to say back. And then
Ja got in there. I didn't see that the first time.
I saw that the first time, and we're.
So now Ja Morant comes in. The commentator talks about how he was on the bench and he wasn't playing this game anyway. So why is he here? So let's hear what Klay had to say about this.
All the time, especially for a guy who rarely takes accountability. But you know what? That's for another day.
What did Ja have to say on this occasion?
Nothing of intelligent depth. It was really just his... just running his mouth.
So Klay, this is what media training looks like, right? Because you see Klay isn't just going in on Ja Morant, even though he could. But basically what he says is, you know, Ja does a lot of talk and he says a lot of stuff. But at the same time, for him to be able to say all this stuff, he's still on the sideline. And then Klay comes back around and then he sweetens it up because he says, you know, this isn't good for our league. This isn't good for the fans because they want to see our best players on the floor, which we know Ja Morant is a generational talent. But at the same time, fans can't appreciate him and nor can the competitors of him. Because, of course, as a competitor, you want to go against the best guys or the best gals, right? So understanding those things, how do we do that if you're not able to compete? And, you know, Klay really speaks highly of him, even in his frustration. But I think there is something that goes to be said here, like in the same regard, in the same respect, that if you're somebody who is a spectator or a commentator, like on the side, you don't really have the place to talk, to be able to really voice your opinion, because you're outside of the game. The game is happening on the floor and you're not a part of it. So, man, I really commend Clay just for eloquently sharing his thoughts, sharing his feelings, but at the same time, not necessarily tearing a guy down, but really just holding him accountable. He's saying you have a lot to say, but at the same time, you're not even accountable for your own actions, which is strong. God, that's some strong words from Klay Thompson, but I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. But there's one other clip I want to play, and this is more so just like around the Wellness Wednesday aspect of what we do here. But it's not Wellness Wednesday. It's Teach Me Tuesday, because so we're still teaching. Okay, we're still teaching. But this is what the clip I want to play, and this is Aaron Paul, who you may know from Breaking Bad, which was one of my favorite shows for the longest. But let's go ahead and get ready to hear from old Aaron, see what he has to say here.
I try not to use my phone in front of my kids. Question something, and I'm trying to just finish this quick email, and then she stopped asking, and she kind of went and started playing. She's seven. This was when she was six. And I put my phone down and I went to her and I go, you know, I want to say I'm sorry for not being, you know, responsive to you. I want to make a pact with you right now. I want to promise daddy's not going to be on his phone when he's with you anymore. And she.
Okay, so right there. And then he goes on to say, his daughter says, really? This is just an awareness call or a personal call of accountability for me, right? Just knowing that I have two kids and knowing that if my kids are my world, my kids and my family and my wife are my world should not be social media. My world should not be, this should not trump time with the people in front of me. As I'm looking at people who are around me or on my screen or on my grid or whatever it might be. But hearing him talk about this and this dude being, you know, being Hollywood, where is the area to where this is something that really matters, right? Where is the area to where the people that we care about and the people that we think about and the people that we love about, where is the line to where we say, I'm going to put this thing away. I'm going to wake up earlier. Or I'm going to stay up later at night and then do what I need to do on my phone so that I can spend time with the people that I care about while they're right in front of my face. Or maybe I don't need to stay up late at night to get these things. Maybe I don't need to get up early in the morning. Maybe we'll begin to realize that some of these things aren't as important or as important as we deemed important.
I want to make a pact with you.
If you feel me, go ahead and drop something in the comments. Go ahead and drop something in the comments if you feel me on that right there. But the fact of the matter is just this. Like, COVID taught us this. COVID taught us that the things that we thought and felt were so important, were so pressing. I got to go to this event. I got to be at this place. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to be here, there, everywhere. But then when God said, y'all just sit down for a second. Y'all just sit down. Because the places that you're going are not that important. The things that you're doing and the people that you're seeing, you don't necessarily need to see them or be around them either. And after the pandemic, there was a point in time to where, at least for myself, I was like, I'm not going to go do that. I don't want to be there. That's not the best use of my time, energy, effort, and or dollars. And I'm sure you came to some of the same conclusion or similar conclusion. But now that we're five years removed from the pandemic and we haven't had many other life-altering events like that to make us stop, to make us look, and to make us like listen and consider, I just want to challenge you on that today. Right, it doesn't have to be you catching or coming down with COVID. It doesn't have to be the world shutting down and there being a curfew on us. It doesn't have to be where you have to wear a mask and you have to go through all these precautions to where you make sure that you're able to return home and wake up the next day safely, sound, secure, in order for us to make certain changes. I started off this episode talking about a weekend to remember. This is a change that me and my wife decided to make, right? This is an investment we decided to make to go to a marriage conference just because we want to make sure that we continue to be happy in our marriage. We didn't have to have a knockdown drag out for us to get to that point, right? There's a point in time to where, boom, just like Aaron, I saw the video with Aaron Paul saying, hey, put your phone down. It doesn't have to be a life-altering event. What am I saying, John? What are you saying? I want us together to just make some decisions of things that we need to change just off the strength that we need to change them so that we can have a better level and quality of life, right? Not because nobody else, not because Oprah tells us to read the book, it's part of the book club. Oh, we want to read a book because we want to improve our life. We want to get into the word and spend more time reading the word because we know that this thing is living, this thing is breathing, and this thing gives us wisdom. Some people say B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Like, there are certain things that you know, that I know, that we can change, we should change, we would change. But there's been things getting in the way, blocking us from doing that, are barriers we've created so that we don't change for the betterment of our own individual lives. Family, today, I encourage you on this Teach Me Tuesday, on Speak Your Success in the Morning, it's 49 minutes after the hour. I want you to know that you're loved. I want you to know that you're valued. I want you to know that you are somebody who is bringing something into this world. You're special. And by you knowing that, how then should you treat yourself if you know that you're special? You know you're unique. You know that you're rare. Handle it with care. Handle yourself with care. Handle the relationships around you with care. Okay. So, family, I'm Jonathan Jones on behalf of producer Britt and Speak Your Success in the Morning on behalf of the team here. Want you all to know, okay, if you have not subscribed, make sure you subscribe to Speak Your Success in the Morning. Okay. You can type in Speak Your Success Media on YouTube, but on all your podcast platforms, Speak Your Success in the Morning with Jonathan Jones and producer Britt. All right. And family, if there's any topic that you like, I want y'all to talk about this, I want y'all to talk about that, send a DM over to @producerBritt or to me @JonathanJonesSpeaks. And family, you know, you might see, you might not. But either way, we got the clips rolling out daily at a high level on Speak Your Success in the Morning on Instagram as well as on our TikTok platform. Just type in Speak Your Success and we'll come right up. But we're going to be right back here with you tomorrow, okay, for Wellness Wednesday. Today was like Teach You Tuesday, Wellness Wednesday, going back and forth. But either way, all right, either way, I want y'all to know, like I said before, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Everybody who comes in, who rocks with us in the morning, if it's one person, if it's five people, if it's 12 people, feel free to drop something in the comments so we know who you are and so we can shout you out. But family, until tomorrow, remember, okay, remember. Speak your success. Believe your greatness and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?